This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
All right, Trista Sports Bra with us here, live from the mean sun. It is 82 degrees right now outside in Sacramento. It is 70-plus degrees out there in Portland. Sorry about your Oregon Ducks. I'm not sorry, but we were texting about it this weekend, and it was nerve-wracking there for a minute, but it ended the way it needed to.
Oregon women's were kind of slept on. Deja Kelly, the transfer guard, she pops right off the page. Yeah, she is fun to watch. She's a little bucket. Here's a fun fact. I didn't know this until I was watching Oregon play Vanderbilt the first round. So the game's son, you know, this is how we do. Yeah. His son is the student manager for the Oregon women's basketball team.
Oh, wow.
And one of the women broadcasters is like, yeah, they call him the scrimmage.
Okay. Okay.
The scrimmage. Does big boy's son still play football there?
I don't remember. I think that was a couple of years ago, so I'm guessing no.
He big was boy, there. The radio show host, or big boy Outkast?
Outkast. His son
Outkast.
Was there. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it when he got recruited and stuff. But he was at the Ohio State game. Big boy was at the Ohio State game when they beat him. What was that? Two years ago.
Yeah. And then Snoop had like a nephew or something that played for the team as well.
Good time.
So.
Like a real nephew or a Snoop nephew? It's hard to tell.
Hard to say. Really unclear. Yeah, very unclear.
Yeah.
Hey, nephew.
We're prepared to throw dirt on the Kings if we need to. It's not a good look right now for us.
Yeah, and I think Portland plays the Kings later this week, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, Thursday. what did you say?
I mean, I still got some work to do. Like, y'all got to win.
So do you.
No, but I'm saying, like, even if it ain't us, like, I don't know if y'all, I saw y'all play somebody tonight that's kind of tough.
Like, yeah, we Portland, play the Cavs tonight. But we almost beat the Cavs the last time we played them. We were up almost 20 on the Cavs in Cleveland. And Isaiah Thomas said it correctly. I don't think the Cavs are off of playing the Celtics, and I forget who else they played a tough game against. He was like, I don't really think that they're prepared for the level of physicality that Portland has.
No shade to Portland because I like what they're doing. They just have to be perfect to jump two teams. And I don't know if they
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about us making the play-in. I don't even care about that, really. I'm just talking about us beating you on Thursday.
Well, that could happen.
Yeah, that's all.
That might not be a tall task at all.
Yeah, that's why when you said, eh, I thought that's what you were talking about. You guys got some work to do.
Not that singular game. No.
Got it. No, I like what Portland's doing. Have you guys seen Denny Abdia's stats since the trade deadline?
I haven't. I've seen a couple of games where he hoops.
He's averaging, I want to say, in his last, I did a segment on this on Heat Check, but since the trade deadline, I think he's averaging like 24 points per game. Jeez. But in the last five games, he's averaging like 27, 10, just insane rebounding numbers as well, getting teammates involved. So I think Denny could be the piece, the wing, that two-way guy. He's not the best defender, but that wing that you want. And he's actually the best isolation scorer right now in the league percentage-wise. True shooting percentage is number one in the league, which is kind of nuts.
Don't come to Sacramento. They'll hate you here if you're an ISO scorer.
They don't like that, dog.
They don't like ISO basketball here in Sacramento.
They don't like that at all. Didn't he? I liked him coming out of the draft, and he got hurt. Kind of got lost in Washington. I thought he was kind of headed towards Busville, but he's got the resurgence.
He's a player Kings fans really liked.
Yeah, I really liked his game, but he just didn't perform early on, so I kind of lost hope for him. But he's had a resurgence in Portland.
He's hooping. There's a lot of hoopers over there. I'm really excited about this team. Funny story, real quick, because we'll finish this little Portland Trailblazers convo. So I'm driving down downtown Portland yesterday, and I find out, I don't even know why I was even looking into this, but I drove past the Ritz, where a lot of NBA players will stay when they're in Portland. There's like a whole, for people who don't know, there's like dedicated hotels in every city. If you can stay at a Four Seasons or a Ritz, that's where you're assigned. So anyway, apparently that Ritz is closing. So I had my eye focused on that building I was driving by, and I see this guy get out of like a Tesla or something. He's parked in the middle of the road, and he gets out of the car in the passenger seat, and I'm on in the right lane, and it's both one way. And I see him, and my friend's like sees him car, and his phone just whap hits the cement. He's like, "Dang, that's rough." And I look and I go, "Not only is that rough, that's Scoot Henderson."
Oh.
So I roll up, I creep up to him, and he's just like shaking his head like, "Damn," you know. And I walk up and I go, "Guess it can happen to anybody, huh?" And he's like, "I'm so sorry, we're in the way." And I was like, "No, it's cool. It's all good. I just wanted to say, like, we're with you, you know."
Shout out Scoot.
And he was and the thing that was kind of cool is, one, to see somebody in like that small inconvenience moment as a star or whatever you want to call him right now. And he wasn't bothered at all. He had a huge smile on his face. You could tell he was kind of like, "Oh man," you know? And
he can afford a new one.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. But even still, like, if you could afford a new one,
you ain't got that Apple Care. That drop hits a little bit different.
It does. The Apple Store, though, is just a pain in the ass, no matter what. Even if you have the money, it's a pain. Anyway, and also, he's a lot taller and thicker, pause, in person than I thought. I was like, "Oh, he's like kind of built like a football player." I've never seen Scoot in person before. That was my first time.
Okay. I'm surprised by that.
He's a big guy. Bigger than Devin Carter, for sure.
You said that about Paolo, too, right? The first time you saw Paolo, it was like, "Oh, he is built way different than it appeared on television."
Paolo is the biggest human I've ever seen. That's not like a 7-footer, right? Mm-hmm. Not like Donovan Clingan. Donovan Clingan looks like a big guy. He looks like a 7-footer. His legs are like, you know, extended. He looks stretched out, like Stretch Armstrong. Paolo looks like a completely proportional human being.
That's what LeBron looks like. LeBron looks like a statue. Yeah.
Yes. And that's Paolo, only Paolo is 6'10".
Mm.
And LeBron is what, 6'7"?
Yeah.
So he's 3 inches taller than LeBron and more muscular than LeBron. And he was that at 18 years old. We know what LeBron looked like at 18. He was swimming in those St. Vincent's, St. Mary's jerseys. So Paolo completely basically out the womb, was looking like he was a that little tiny army man, just Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but Honey, I Expanded the Kids. He's like the largest. His calves are like the size of my whole body. It was crazy.
Yeah. He's a grown man. At what is he, 20? Is he 21 yet?
I think he's, this is his third year, right?
Yeah, came out as a freshman. 21. He probably turned 21, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paolo Banchero, 22 years old.
22.
Got it, 22. Yeah.
22 years old.
He's a beast, an absolute beast. And they just put the hurt on the Los Angeles Lakers last night.
Yeah, Lakers are struggling a little bit, and Orlando's just kind of all over the place.
I don't know what to make of Orlando, honestly. They had a lot of promise early on before the Paolo Banchero injury, and then Paolo gets injured to his abdomen, and then Franz Wagner tears an abdomen, which is like odd. That's a very strange injury for two of your premier players to have back-to-back. And then Jalen Suggs goes down as well. So I think it's just been injuries that have derailed their entire year. And KCP has been a massive disappointment as well. He was supposed to be kind of the missing link to a team that could not shoot, and he's having one of his worst years of his career. So, yeah, that's going to be – I think they'll be okay, but I think they need more pieces to them.
Atlanta's in the seventh spot. Orlando's in the eighth. Chicago at 9. Miami at 10. I make the prediction right now. Your final two Eastern Conference playoff teams will be Atlanta and Chicago.
Yeah, you know, we have to talk about Chicago really fast, because a lot of people were like, oh, Chicago, it was such a smart idea that they made that trade to get their own first-round pick back. And I thought to myself, this is the most Chicago Bulls thing that they could possibly do.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vilani and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because they know in their heart, they can't stop themselves from being mediocre. They play well just enough to sneak into the play-in in a draft class where Cooper Flagg looks transcendent. The modest Buzelis Cooper Flagg duo would be something vicious. And they're like, no, we'd rather mess around and get some that kid Yakachunas or whatever from Illinois or whatever his name is. They're fine to get like the 11th spot in the draft just so that they can go into the play-in and lose one game and get bounced out. That's disgusting. That's honestly gross. I hate that if I'm a fan of its team. And it's different than Portland, right? Portland's kind of like not trying to do this. They're just winning games.
Yeah. I it could be coming from a place where it's just kind of grown as a player. I don't even know. We talk about age. Is he 21 yet? Well, yeah, he was Davion's draft, so he's probably about 21, 22.
Hopefully for him, he's not.
But never beat accusations.
That's federal.
Never beat accusations.
Once your name is attached to it, it's really hard to.
It's tough. It's like Ime Udoka. So the new Celtics owner's wife said she's obsessed with Joe Mazzulla.
I was like,
see, it's a good thing Ime Udoka's not around. He would have taken that and used it as an opportunity, boy.
Oh, boy.
I hear you're
Ime
obsessed.
Would have been like, word?
He's like, huh? Hold on. Let me hit Shorty's line.
But, yeah, man, I that could be the case with Giddy, man. I try to, especially with these younger guys and even some of the older guys, like situation, age, experience, you could all grow from it. You know what I mean? And sometimes when somebody's playing, it is as simple as it's a contract year sometimes. But sometimes it's, hey, I finally figured some stuff out. You know what I mean? And maybe that's what's going on with Josh Giddey. Because I remember the same thing. I talked to my guy who's always telling me about Josh Giddey. And I said, man, he's hooping right now. I can't get out of my brain, though, him not being able to play in the playoffs because he couldn't shoot. And I don't like players that can't shoot. So, I don't know. We'll find out what's really going on with Josh Giddey in the, I guess, next season.
Or if they mess around and get into the 8th seed, we'll know exactly what's going on with Josh Giddey.
Yeah, I got him getting into that 8th seed. I think Atlanta, and that would have Orlando losing twice. That's cold,
man,
but
that's tough. Yeah,
Atlanta and Chicago getting in there.
Yeah, it's Atlanta, Orlando, Chicago, and Miami. Miami is 30-41 in the 10th spot of the Eastern Conference. The San Antonio Spurs are 31-39 in the 13th spot of the Western Conference, with probably little chance of getting. I mean, they're three games back with 11, 12 to go for them. The chances of them making that up, as sporadic as Sacramento, Phoenix, Dallas, and Portland are, pretty unlikely. You brought up the Lakers a minute ago. The Lakers were title contenders like a month ago. where are we with the Lakers now after another trifecta of losses? I think they lost three, won three, and have since lost three again.
Yeah, it's. I was talking about the Lakers when I went on It Is What It Is on Monday's show. And people are coming for my neck like I don't know what the Lakers' defensive rating is. I know what the Lakers' defensive rating is, especially post-trade deadline. They were the number one defensive team in the league post-trade deadline. So, and they're still top five, I believe, right now. Great. The numbers tell one story, and that's great. But perimeter defense is very tough for them because Austin Reeves, we know he's not a defender. We know you need Luka in very high leverage moments at his absolute best for him to play serviceable to good defense. You know that Jared Vanderbilt, he plays good defense, but he can't be on the floor offensively. So you've got other guys out there like Dalton Knecht, who is not a good defender. So I think when it comes to the guards that they're going to play along the way, the Shea Gilgis is of the world, the Jamal Murray's of the world, even the type of guards like Fred VanVleet, who are undersized but can share the rock, who's very high IQ, can light it up from deep, they're going to have problems. And that's why Kobe White put super buckets on their head. That's why Josh Giddey was able to do what he was able to do. Almost got a quadruple double against the Lakers. So I think that everything has to be perfect for the Lakers to go on a deep run. But when you see the Lakers at their peak, you're like, wow, they are box office. They can light anyone up and they can lock anyone down. But I feel like it's very tenuous. They have to really be healthy. They have to all be motivated, and they have to be playing great team defense in order to truly compete. And I just don't know. The answer is I don't know what we're going to get on a day-to-day basis from L.A.
The playoffs started today. Lakers-Memphis in 4-5 matchup. Winner takes
on. That's a Lakers win. That's a winner. That's
what I was going to ask you. Lakers take on OKC. Do the Lakers get to the Western Conference Finals if things are set up the way they are right now?
No. They're not beating OKC as of right now.
Memphis might be a problem. You said Memphis a little too quick. Or you said the Lakers beating them a little too quick. Memphis might be a problem. They're physical. They've got the size component that is also an Achilles heel for the Lakers right now. And if Ja's healthy, that's the kind of guard you're talking about that can kind of give them fits.
Well, yes, you're right about that. You're 100% right about that. But I don't think Ja has been healthy. And now you got Brandon Clark out for the year. You've got a rookie as your starting center, and or at least a center that's going to eat up a lot of minutes. You've got Ja with a bunch of ankle and lower extremity injury history. So that's tough for me. And you're talking about the Grizzlies in general. Their three-point defense has been really bad. Just defensively, the things that we know about them have in the last 10, 15 games not been great. They've been losing to teams that they really shouldn't lose to. So to me, it's the momentum that's showing me I don't know if I can trust Memphis. And we've seen this story before. The Lakers beat Memphis the last time around, and the Lakers have gotten better since then, and the Grizzlies haven't. They really could use that Marcus Smart veteran in the locker room that they traded away for I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And I'm not sure outside of Desmond Bane who is going to fill it up for them from deep besides, I guess, Luke Kennard.
Jalen Wells.
You're right about that. But a rookie? You trust a rookie in the playoffs against the Lakers?
No, that's tough.
He's tough. He is tough.
To your point, though, that's tough to...
Yes, he was. We know.
To your point, that's tough to ask of a rookie, though. You know what I mean? Like, all right, be the X factor in this playoff series against the Lakers.
Yeah.
At Staples, when they have home court advantage?
Ooh, crypto.
Crypto. The crypt. Tales from the crypt. Jalen Wells, from the crypt. What does he do? We'll see.
Oh, goodness gracious. Is it OKC for you? Is like, easy? For the conference. I don't mean for the championship. I mean for the conference.
I feel like I kind of have to. Every time I feel like they're going to prove me wrong, they don't.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What about our Dubs?
Our Dubs are tough. Our Dubs are very
Kenny's
tough.
Not buying our Dubs, but I feel like they're good. They got a big game that's getting attention tonight with Jimmy back in Miami. But are they a legit?
They're a legit contender, unfortunately. Unfortunately, they look really good. And I was talking about this the other day. I want you guys' thought on this. Do you think Jimmy is a better pairing for Steph than Clay? Without KD. No KD in the picture. Ooh. So you either get Clay or you get... And we'll even take peak Jimmy, peak Clay.
Peak Clay.
Over peak Jimmy?
Peak Clay. Oh, I'm thinking about it this way. Peak Clay and Steph, we saw it. It is unbeatable. Like, you can't guard those two. They shoot the ball too well.
It was beatable. They 73-9, and they lied.
That's true.
That was beatable.
They did lie.
Walk me through the championship real quick.
The only championship they got against the Cavs, Kyrie and Kevin Love didn't play.
I'll put it to you like this. If you gave me a random shooting guard and Jimmy Butler at small forward as opposed to Klay Thompson at shooting guard and a random small forward, I'm taking the Klay Thompson situation.
Can you walk me through the thought process behind this question?
Yeah, so we were talking about it on It Is What It Is.
It's a good show.
In the sense of like...
Great show.
Great show. And Mace made a good point, but I actually agree that right now, especially in Steph's career, he needs somebody that can take the pressure off as well. Like, help keep tread on his tires throughout the season. Help eliminate the ability for defenses to collapse on him and blitz him, which we've seen happens a lot. But also, Jimmy is not getting double teamed either because Steph's right there. And Jimmy is an ISO mid-range king in that half court style of offense that you see in the playoffs. And you, outside of KD and a little bit of Andrew Wiggins, like a little bit, and we're really talking about just that title run and we haven't seen it before or since, is that is, I think, a bit more dynamic in terms of two bucket getters, three level scorers, where Clay was a straight line drive guy. And even in his peak, he didn't have a bag of tricks, right? He wasn't crossing people up, hezzy, you know, behind the back, midi. No, he was like straight line dunks, catch and shoot three. And I think that's easier to game plan against than a guy like Jimmy who can three-level score and a Steph who can three-level score.
It's a good question. It's tough. I think Clay in his – because we're talking prime. Now, right now, I think the answer is clearly Jimmy. But in their prime, I think Clay was a better player than Jimmy Butler.
Do you think that Steph needs a player like Jimmy over a player like Steph, considering they have Buddy Hield, who's like a decent catch-and-shoot three-point shooter?
Right now, yes. Like you said, the other question you said was in their prime. In their prime, Klay was that. Klay was all league type of defender, guarding Kyrie's, guarding Russ. Like, he was doing all that, and he gave you all the space, gave Steph all the space in the world where you couldn't leave him. Like,
so here's the thing. I have the answer.
Oh.
But we're out of time, so we just got to thank Trista for joining us.
We're not even talking juju. We're not talking women's tournament. This is whack.
First of all, bro, you was like 45 minutes late. You're out building a house in a sports bra. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to talk to you about juju. We got Jason Jones coming up. Like, and now we're talking about fictitious scenarios with Klay or Jimmy. I don't know what y'all want from me. All I'm trying to do is navigate the best I can.
Oh, my God.
I like the Warriors this year. They're good.
Wow, that even hurt me a little bit to hear.